Amen. I pray that that blessed your heart this morning. Thank you, Denise and Praise Band. Wonderful job. It's always good to worship with you. Well, one day there was this blonde who was getting extremely tired of her husband's dumb blonde jokes. And so she decided that she was going to prove to him that blondes weren't as dumb as he was trying to portray them to be. And so she decided that while he would go off to work, she was going to paint the kitchen. So when he left, she went on down to the hardware store and asked the hardware clerk to help her pick out the paint she needed and the brushes and the rollers, and he did. And then she asked him for some instruction on how to do a good job painting, and he gave her some tips, and then he just said, listen, if you'll just follow the directions on the can, you'll do a wonderful job. It'll work out perfectly. Well, she went on home and started painting. Well, her husband came home to surprise her for lunch, and when he walked in the front door, he could smell the smell of paint. So he walked into the kitchen, and there she was painting away, and he looked, and he said, wow, sweetheart, you're doing a wonderful job. This looks great. He said, but I got to ask you a question. Why in the world are you wearing three coats? Well, she came down from the ladder and she said, well, that's simple. You know, I went to the hardware store and asked the man for help, and he picked out everything I needed, and he told me, just follow the directions on the can and you'll do a great job. And it says right here on the can, for best results, apply three coats. Well, that's kind of cute. Doesn't have a whole lot. My wife's back there covering her mouth. Well, it doesn't have a whole lot to do with our sermon this morning, other than I think you can all say that that wife, that blonde, was trying to do everything she could to experience the best results. Amen? And you know what? I think about that, experiencing the best results, in the situation we find ourselves in today, I'm sadly reminded that many of people who really call on the name of Christ aren't experiencing the best results they can of their position in Him. Many really aren't experiencing the hope and security and peace that they should have. And please don't take that lightly, because that is what we should be experiencing. Can I remind you that Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Jesus says His dying for us and leaving was all in the purpose of giving us peace and hope and security. And yet many aren't experiencing it. And so the question we might want to ask this morning, especially in the light of what we are facing, not only in our society, not only in our nation, but in our world, the question needs to be, what does our focus as followers of Christ need to be? What is it we need to be getting down in our heart and in the forefront of our minds? What is the practice and knowledge we need to have so that we walk each day in these difficult times with the peace and hope and security Jesus died to give? Well, to help answer that question, I invite you this morning to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm, as we're going to look at a passage of Scripture this morning that deals with those very questions. A passage of Scripture that's going to clearly show us that He is more than sufficient, and because of that, we can indeed have peace today. With your Bibles in your hands, I invite you to stand. And I know you're sitting in your living room. You might have a cup of coffee in your hand, but still stand up. God's Word is the authority in our life, no matter where we are gathered together. So with your Bibles in your hands, I invite you to stand in honor of reading God's holy and infallible Word, starting in verse 1 of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, this morning as we walk through these six verses, we're going to see a truth unfolded. Every one of us needs to grab a hold of. If we're going to experience the comfort and peace and security Jesus died to give. And that truth is simply this. It even ought to be on the screen behind me. It says, the Lord is a faithful provider to those who embrace His loving covenant and stand fast in it. Let me say that again. The Lord is a faithful, more than faithful provider to those who embrace His loving covenant and stand fast in it. Let's pray and then come back and see how that statement unfolds in these six verses. And more importantly, what this passage says you and I need to be focusing on. So we're walking into hope and peace and security Jesus died to give. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word and the truth that it contains. We're grateful for the faithful instruction it gives, and especially the encouragement and hope and enlightenment this passage gives. A hope, encouragement, and enlightenment every single one of us in this room, on Facebook, and who will even watch this later need. It's a hope and a security and a peace this whole world needs. A peace the world doesn't give. A peace that only Jesus can give. God, we need to hear what this passage says. And yet I'm reminded that I'm a fallible man who can mess it all up. And so I pray again you would remove me from the picture and take control of my lips and tongue. Fill me with your spirit, fill my mind with your thoughts, and speak your truth through me. Please, oh Father, keep me from adding anything to this word or taking anything away. But may I only proclaim the truth that's in the passage set before us this morning, a truth that will bring hope and encouragement to hearts that desperately need it today. Oh God, I pray you would speak as only you can speak. Move as only you can move so that when this time is over, hearts will be restored. People who belong to you step will be having a pep. And those who don't know you, I pray at the end of this, will be surrendering our hearts to Jesus and beginning a real life of freedom. For we ask it all in His name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Friends, for those of you who have been a part of Farnham Baptist and New Friendship, you know for the past couple of months, we've been in a sermon series titled Knowledge for a Vibrant Walk. It's a series that is coming from the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And this morning, I'm taking a break from that study simply because I didn't feel the next passage in line would be very encouraging for us in the moment we find ourselves in our world, not just society. Because the next passage in line was 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that was dealing with trivial lawsuits and the failures that it brings into the church. And somehow or another, I just didn't feel that would bring encouragement on a day like today, and that we needed something that would encourage us. And through prayer, I was actually going to preach this last Sunday, but because of we closing the church down at the last minute, canceling church and just not having enough time to get up like we are today, I felt that it would be good to preach this passage today. And I do believe it is a passage for the moment we find ourselves in simply because it is a beautiful passage of scripture penned by the psalmist David that paints a beautiful picture not only about who the Lord is, but about who we are who belong to the Lord. If I might say it this way, it's a beautiful passage of scripture that reminds us of who we are, whose we are, and what we have because of it. Can I say that one more time? That would be a good place if you're watching this. Say it again, preacher. You can type it in. It's okay. But let me just say it one more time. This is a passage of scripture that clearly reminds us of who we are, whose we are, and what we have because of it. Now, before we get to that, this morning I want to reveal to you a foundation that David lays here in verse 1, and then we're going to get to six things that flow out of it this morning. But let me lay for you the foundation that David lays here. It's really a foundation, and you could say a condition at the same time to all the promises that are found here. And what is that? Well, look back if you've got your Bible with me at verse 1 again. Look what David says here in the first half of verse 1. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, there's two words I want to key in on there first. And the first one is that name or title, Lord. Your Bible is probably just like mine. It has it all in caps. And there's a reason why. It's the name there in the Hebrew is Yahweh. That's God's covenant making, keeping name that he revealed himself to Israel through, that reminded them of the fact that he is the sovereign creator of all things, who also is the God who made a covenant with them and is keeping his covenant with them. If you like it this way, he's the sovereign creator of all, who is our covenant making, keeping God. And David says something about this covenant making, keeping God, who is sovereign over all, the sovereign creator of all. David says, he is my shepherd. Now, I don't take that analogy lightly. David is referring to the Lord in a way that he can rightly relate to. And why? David wasn't always a king. In his younger years, he was the runt of the family in Jesse's house. And as such, as the youngest son, he had the task of caring for the sheep. He was a shepherd. And so David knows what's involved with caring for sheep. And he learned a lot about God caring for sheep. David understood that shepherds have the responsibility for leading the sheep, for caring for the sheep, providing for them, protecting for them, and even if necessary, giving their life for the sheep. David understood that. And so when he says that the Lord, the covenant-making God of Israel, the sovereign creator of all, is my shepherd, David is revealing something here that we need to grab a hold of. And that is, for everybody who's in covenant relationship with him, they can claim God, the Lord, as their shepherd. Now, folks, that drives home a point that we need to grab a hold of. Everything that we see after that statement is promises of what David says he experienced from the Lord as being his shepherd. And can I remind you, Jesus said, he is our good shepherd. Everything that he experienced of the Lord because of him being his shepherd. But let me tell you something. Those promises can only be claimed by those who are rightly in a covenant relationship with him. If I might say it this way, if you're watching by Facebook this morning, and you've never truly surrendered your heart to Jesus, you've never truly been born again, These promises aren't yours. You can't claim these promises. They don't belong to you. That they only belong to those who have truly embraced Jesus for who he said he is, that is God incarnate in the flesh, lived a sinless life, died on an old rugged cross for our sin, rose on the third day so that we could have eternal life. For every person who's truly surrendered to him as Lord and Master of their life, these promises are for them. If that's not you, if you haven't been born again and sealed to the Spirit of God until day of redemption, these promises aren't yours, but they can be. Brothers and sisters, friends, if that's you and you haven't trusted Jesus, the first thing you need to do while I'm preaching on through this, don't listen to this. Get on your knees, confess your sin and repent and ask Jesus to come in your heart and save you. This is no time to be playing around with God. Get right with him and these promises will be yours. But because David's in a right covenant relationship with the Lord, notice what he says at the end of verse 1. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. And as a result of that, he says, I shall not want. David says, because the sovereign creator, the covenant making, keeping God of Israel, because he is my shepherd, my life has absolutely no want. He is sufficient to meet every need, not greed, but every need in my life. There's not going to be any want in my life. Man, would you let that sink in? You really need to take that to heart, because let me tell you something. If Jesus is your shepherd, that promise, that statement is yours. There is no want. He is sufficient to meet every need in your life. And what flows in the next five verses is all the promises David says he has experienced in his life simply because of the Lord being his shepherd. And they are promises you and I can hang our hat on. And to clearly see them and get the hope that we need to get from them, and the security and the peace we need to have from them. I've broken it up into six main things that we're going to look at. Promises you have in Jesus, what you can have today, and you need to remember as we face the days to come. These promises are yours. What are they? Well, the first thing we're going to see very clearly is based on his sufficiency, is that because he is sufficient, his sufficiency provides rest and satisfaction. Let me say that again. Because he is sufficient, sufficient to meet every one of our needs so that we're not in want, his sufficiency provides rest and satisfaction. How's that? Look what David says here, verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now, in order to understand what David is saying here, there's something about sheep and the shepherd and sheep motif that you need to understand. And that something is simply this. First thing is, sheep are really stupid animals, and we're being regarded as sheep, so that doesn't leave a whole lot of room for us to be filled with pride. But there's something else you need to know. Sheep are very timid, skittish animals. They are easily frightened, and one thing specifically about sheep, especially in Eastern culture like that, is they do not like running water. They don't like the sound of it. They don't like the movement they see in it, and they won't go up to it and drink from it. And if the shepherd doesn't pull up water for them, sheep will go off and go find water somewhere, even if it's stagnant water, water that'll make them sick. They're stupid animals, remember? And we're kind of a lot like sheep. We'll run off and just drink anything. But the good shepherd, what does he do? He pulls up water so it becomes quiet water that doesn't scare the sheep. And they drink, and they're satisfied. And satisfied indeed, because let me again remind you of where David says it is he's lying down, in the middle of green pastures. Now, I think for most of us here, because of the northern neck, we really can't relate to that good. I'm looking out the window right now, and I'm looking at a field over on this side that's just as green and lush as green can be. And on my drive in, that's what I saw, field after field that was lush and green. But over in Palestine and Israel, it's not that way. Most of the area is arid desert kind of area. And then you have fields and sections that have lush green pastures. And what would the good shepherd do? He would lead his sheep through these arid desert-like settings into a green pasture. And a good shepherd would lead his sheep to a pasture that would satisfy all the sheep. And they would get their fill. And because of that, they could lay down because they have been completely satisfied and rest. And that's what David is saying here. That the Lord is so fulfilling in my life. He's so meeting my needs. I find such satisfaction in him that in the midst of all of this lush green field, I'm just laying down and resting. I don't take that lightly. You know, I think that lush green field could represent the things of the world. You know, I think back in a time of my life that there was a time that when me and Marty were in business before the Lord really got a hold of our hearts, that we had a successful business and we had everything that the world thought you had to have to be a success. But I can tell you right now, and you can ask my wife anytime, I was anything but satisfied. Enough wasn't enough. And you know, we got a real good picture of that over the past week or two, haven't we? Our world thinking that material things might bring rest and satisfaction into their lives. You know, there's some things I'm thinking about. And please don't think wrong of me, but one of them right here is this thing here, a mask. Now, the reason I have this mask is simply because last year I was putting fungicide on my yard, and I thought maybe it would be a good idea if I didn't breathe some of that in as I was spraying it. So I went to Walmart to get this mask and, you know, a box of masks, and I got one or two left, and at the end, I'll tell you, if anybody thinks they need it, because I don't need it, you send me a message, I'll make sure you get it. You know, they've already told you this won't do anything for coronavirus for you. It's really not a good protection. I think it keeps more things in than it does keeping things out, and I have experienced that, because I'm going to tell you, you know, even though I brush my teeth and I gargle with Listerine and all that stuff, when I was spraying that yard, I noticed something. When you have this on, no matter matter how much you care for your breath, after a while you find out something. You really got funky breath, man. It stinks, and this mask will remind you of it. I mean, it just stinks. It's not going to bring the peace and satisfaction and rest you think it'll bring. But then there was something else that we saw people get crazy over. It's hand sanitizer. Now, I can understand that one. But, you know, you still can wash your hands. And the truth of the matter is, as you use this stuff, it runs out. And right now, you can't get any more. So if you're hoping peace and rest and satisfaction is found in this, it's going to fall short. And then there was something else we saw. Man, this blows me away. I can't understand this. But toilet paper. Man, people found it. A run on toilet paper. I mean, it's even hard to still find right now. It's starting to stock up a little bit better, but everybody had to have toilet paper. Now, let me tell you something. If you're putting your hope and trust in how many rolls of toilet paper you have, let me just leave you with this thought. Are you ready? If your hope and trust is in this, let me do it this way. I don't know if I can get it right or not, but are you ready? Guess what? Every day, you're flushing away your hope and trust. But then anyhow, it just ain't going to meet it. So if somebody needs toilet paper, I got to roll. In fact, I'll tell you what. It's Matthew, the drummer in the praise band's birthday today. And Matthew, since this is such a premium stuff, here, man, here's my gift to you. You can have a roll of toilet paper. Hey, guess what? You just got TP'd. How about that, man? Oh, man, that's pretty good. Oh, man, that's going viral. I know it is. But anyhow, listen, the truth of the matter is none of these things can bring the rest and satisfaction you want. Only Jesus can. And can I remind you, that's what Jesus wants to give us. Let me remind you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Folks, I can tell you, as many of you already know from your own experiences, this world and the things of this world cannot bring you rest and satisfaction. Only Jesus can. And that moment, that day, he got a hold of my heart. Things changed. And that rest and satisfaction was there. Because he's sufficient, his sufficiency provides rest and satisfaction. But then secondly, because he is sufficient, his sufficiency provides restoration. What do I mean? Listen to what David says, verse 3. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Now, to understand what David is saying here, once again, there's something you need to understand about this shepherd sheep motif. And that something is, as I've already alluded to, sheep love to eat. And they're a lot like us, Baptists and evangelicals on a Sunday. You know, as soon as a church is over, we go home and eat. In fact, I would dare say that most of you, as soon as this is over, because you're right there in your living room and the kitchen's five steps away, as soon as I'm done, you're going to eat. In fact, some of you sit there, if he could only see me now, you're probably eating right now. And we love to eat. In fact, my wife just said, you know, there's one bad thing about this quarantine or social distancing thing. She says, all you want to do is eat and sleep, eat and sleep. Eat and sleep. Man, you know, that don't do nothing but make your hips swell up. But anyhow, listen, sheep love to eat. And then after they eat, they like to lay down and sleep. And sheep, without even knowing it, sometimes will roll over on their side. And they'll start to kick, dreaming. And unfortunately, sometimes they flip over on their back. And at that moment, that sheep finds itself in a position we call cast. And it's a deadly position. Because at that moment, gases begin to build up in that sheep's stomach and it's cutting off its airflow and blood flow. And it's literally going to suffocate to death. And it can give out these little bellowing calls. And if the shepherd doesn't hear the sheep's call for help, if the shepherd doesn't see that sheep in that position, it will die. But the good shepherd is always listening for that. He's always watching over his sheep to see if they're in a position where they need to be restored. And David says that's how he's experienced the Lord in his life. Let me remind you, Scripture tells us David was a man after God's own heart, but he wasn't perfect. He sinned in a lot of ways. And yet, what did David find at the hand of the Lord? Restoration. He restored him. Friends, that's what he does for you and I. When we sin, when we go astray, does he kick us to the curb? No. When we cry out, what does he do? He forgives us. He restores us. Friends, nobody has to walk in that position where you're feeling the weight and the pressure of your sin today and all confused. You can have a restored, vibrant walk because of His sufficiency. And please don't take that lightly. Can I remind you, Micah 7, 18 and 19 says, "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives transgressions of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sin underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea." Brothers and sisters, friends, you can be restored this morning. You don't have to be separated from the love of the Good Shepherd. You don't have to be separated from His provision. Just cry out and experience the restoration only Jesus can give. Because He's sufficient, His sufficiency provides rest and satisfaction. Because He's sufficient, His sufficiency provides restoration. And then thirdly, here's one you might want to really grab a hold of. Because He's sufficient, His sufficiency makes Him a faithful guide. Why do I say that? Listen to what David says again in verse 3. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. He guides me in the right way. But as I've already said, as you already know, sheep are stupid animals. And as Isaiah says, we all like sheep have gone astray. We all have followed after our own way. You know, there's something about sheep. You can lead them to the right water. You can lead them to the right fields. And David understood this, but just give it a little bit of time. Let them sit around for a little bit. And I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but I've noticed it in West Virginia with my cousin who has some sheep. It doesn't take too long before some of them start just wandering off, going, and they don't even know how to find their way back. They just wander off. And we are a lot like those sheep. David says that's how he was. But what? How did the Lord respond to him? When he wandered off again, did He kick him to the curb? No. David says He faithfully led me in the paths of righteousness, back in the right way. You know, that's what the Good Shepherd does for us. You remember Jesus told that parable about one having 100 sheep and one went and got lost. What does He do? He leaves the 99 in the safe place and He goes and He gets that one sheep. That's exactly what He does for you and I when we wander, when we stray. He comes looking for us. And it comes bringing us back to where we need to be, all because of this covenant relationship we have with Him. And here's the real kicker. Are you ready? Why does He do this? Why is He so diligent to restore us and bring us back where we need to be? Listen again to what David says at the end of verse 3. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Did you hear that? The moment you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you became His. You became one of His sheep. He became your shepherd. And the whole reason why He works so mercifully and diligently and tirelessly in your life is because His name is at stake as the Good Shepherd. If He loses just one sheep, He can no longer claim the title being a good shepherd. Please don't miss that. Back in David's day, if a shepherd lost one sheep, if he was unfaithful with the sheep and led them astray and stuff like that, he wasn't a good shepherd and would lose his job. Only good shepherds were the shepherds who didn't lose any of their sheep. I hope for some of you, and you some may struggle with this at this moment, but I hope you can find some security in that if you've truly surrendered your heart to Christ and been born again, there's nothing that can take you away from Him. He loses not a single one. He guides us in the right way for His name's sake. I like what Isaiah 42:16 says, "And I will bring the blind by a way they did not know, and I will lead them in paths they have not known, and I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. And these things I will do unto them," listen to this, "and not forsake them." You know, I think one thing that we ought to really take heart and comfort in in the day and age that we find ourselves in is that we have a faithful God, God who is a faithful guide, who for his name's sake will guide us in the way we need to go. Man, that's important when we live in a world in a time where there's a whole lot of voices saying a whole lot of things. And how does he guide us? By his Spirit, by his word, by spending time with him. We find him as our faithful God who faithfully guides. Because he is sufficient, his sufficiency provides rest and satisfaction. It provides restoration. It makes him a faithful guide. And then fourthly, you ready? Because he is sufficient, his sufficiency makes him the perfect protector. Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, once again, there's something you need to understand about this shepherd sheep motif that David knows that would go on back in that time that helps us understand that. And that something is this. Shepherds oftentimes would need to move their sheep from what was called the high land into the lowlands, into the valleys. And in order to get there, they would have to cross through this section, which was known as the valley of the shadow of death. It was this place that was filled with narrow passages that had high cliffs on each side that cast deep shadows, and in those deep shadows, predators would wait to pounce on prey, and there was also ravines and stuff that sheep and other animals could fall in and get stuck, and for sheep who were timid already, when they would come up on this section coming out of a lighted area and looking into that darkness, it would be kind of intimidating, almost like the day and age we face today is kind of intimidating, and yet because of the shepherd being there, and what does David say? Because of your presence with me, because of your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why does the rod and staff comfort him? Because the rod of the shepherd was used to beat off predators, to kill or fend off anything that wanted to cause harm to the sheep. And the staff, why was the staff important? Because the shepherds didn't drive the sheep, they led the sheep. And if there was a pretty good flock, you think about being down here, the shepherd, if you're in the back of the flock, you might not see him. The only thing you might see is the crook of his staff. And that staff would also be used if a sheep got off into a little pit or something, that the shepherd could pick it back up and put it back where it needed to be in the flock. Sometimes even tap its hiney to get it going. And David says, your rod and your staff, the very fact that you are with me brings comfort to me in the midst of this valley of the shadow of darkness. Would you remember that? You know, anytime we stay connected with Jesus and we're in right relationship with him, we'll find the comfort and the peace and the security we need, even in the valley of the shadow of death. We all walk through different valleys of shadows of death. I'm looking over here right now at Carol, who just a few months ago, her husband went home to be with the Lord. And if I had her come up here right now to tell you, I think she would be able to tell you the peace and the comfort she has experienced all because of the presence of the Lord. Man, we need to remember that. Because believe it or not, we all are facing a valley of shadow of death right now, aren't we? Well, we don't know how far this coronavirus thing is going to spread. We don't know who it's going to affect. We don't know 3 weeks from now, even in our own church families, who might still be with us. Folks, the reality is this, and I don't mean to sound morbid, but it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. I remember a few months ago that, probably about a year ago now, and I've shared it in a sermon before about some medication the doctor put me on and really messed going to die. And I'll never forget one night my wife just looked at me, and I don't know if she was just trying to get rid of me or what, or maybe she was hoping I was getting ready to leave or not, but she just kind of looked at me and she said, Rodney, one day we're all going to die of something. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And you know, that forced me to really lean in on Jesus and find the peace and the comfort only he can give. Friends, let me tell you something. Our government, these doctors, hand sanitizer, toilet paper, mask. They're not going to get you through. They're not going to bring you the peace and the comfort you need as you face this valley of the shadow of darkness and of death. The only one who can bring you that peace and comfort is Jesus. And what you need to remember about that relationship you have with Jesus is you being his sheep and he being your shepherd is what he said in John 10, 27 and 28. He said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. They shall never perish and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Friend, I can't promise you 3 weeks from now that you will be with us. But I can promise you this, if you've surrendered your heart to Jesus, you'll be with him. You will exit stage left and enter into the presence of his glory and the reward of your eternal estate. And that's the thing I think we all need to remember, because there are great uncertainties all around us in this day we're in. But because he's sufficient, his sufficiency provides rest and satisfaction. It provides restoration. It makes him a faithful guide. It makes him the perfect protector. And are you ready? Because he is sufficient, his sufficiency makes him our perfect provider. What do I mean? Look at what David says here, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. For time's sake, let me just quickly move through this. Once again, David's drawing off of something that he remembers as being a shepherd. And what is that? Oftentimes, shepherds would have their sheep out far away from their home village and far away from anywhere that they could take them into sheep pens. And so the shepherd would just have to make a sheep pen right out there in the wilderness. So he would find some spot near a cave or up next to some mountains where all he maybe had to do was make two or three walls, and he would make it out of sticks and stones and stuff. And then he would go in and clear out all the poisonous weeds and stuff that would harm the sheep. That's the preparing the table before them in the presence of their enemies that would be outside that sheep pen. And then here's something the shepherd would do. He'd bring the sheep in one by one, and he would examine their heads mostly, because sheep rub up against stones and stuff as they're grazing, and if they got any kind of rubbing or cut on their head, he would take oil and anoint their head with oil so that it would soothe the cut and take the pain away, but also put a barrier there so flies and stuff don't get in. And then once the sheep were all in the pen, the shepherd would lay across that opening, and the sheep would sit in there with water and with food, and they would eat in great protection of the shepherd, the good shepherd being there. And because of that, David says, Lord, that's what you've done in my life. And because of that, my cup overflows. I have everything I need because of you being for me. You know, I think that's something we need to remember in this day and age we are in. He is sufficient to provide for every single one of our needs. Anybody not have toilet paper in the house today? Everybody here shaking their head, they all got it. If you are watching online and you don't have toilet paper, let us know as the body of Christ. We'll send you a couple of rolls. We'll get it to you. Anybody in here today missing any food in their house? See, people have acted crazy, but you know what we have as God's people is the promise, is he'll provide for us. Not our greed, but our need. And we can rest in that. Not only our physical needs, but our spiritual needs. He will keep us and see us through all the way. I like what the psalmist says in Psalm 34:10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But those, listen to this, but those who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. And if that isn't good enough for you, let me give you a New Testament verse that ought to really speak to you. What is that? John 10:10. Most of you know it. What? The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Satan and his minions come only to rob, kill, and destroy. And I think a lot of what we see taking place in our society, in our world today, especially around this coronavirus, has a lot of its roots in Satan and his minions, the work that he's doing. Let me remind you, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers that are in high places. It plays out in flesh and blood, but there's something behind the scene going on, and they're very active. And they're seeking to bring destruction. But what does Jesus say? I've come that you can have life and have it to the full. Not when you get to heaven do you experience the full life. Jesus says, I've come so that you could have full, abundant life now. A life filled with peace. A life filled with joy. A life filled with rest and satisfaction. That's what Jesus has come to give for you and me. Folks, if we're ever going to experience it, we have to stay close to Him. Because He's sufficient, His sufficiency provides rest and satisfaction. It provides restoration. It makes Him a faithful guide, a perfect protector, a perfect provider. And one last thing, and I'll close. Because He is sufficient, His sufficiency is expressed in covenant-keeping love. Because He is sufficient, we experience His covenant-keeping love. What is that? Listen to what David says, verse 6. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And where I have loving kindness, maybe some of you have mercy. I like loving kindness better because if you look at it in the Hebrew, it's speaking about God's covenant-keeping love. God's love that's all found up in His character and His faithfulness to keeping covenants. And don't miss what David is saying here. That because God is indeed a covenant-making, keeping God who is faithful, filled with mercy and goodness, filled with love, David is basically saying that even in those moments when I am not faithful to the covenant I have made with you, you still are faithful to the covenant you have made with me. Man, would you let that sink in? Even when we are not faithful, He still continues to be faithful. Because of that, David makes this bold proclamation that needs to speak to all our hearts. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David says, because of God's goodness, God's covenant faithfulness, I am going to be in His house forever. I am always going to be abiding in God's unfailing love. You do know that is the same promise you and I have as New Testament saints, don't you? Can I remind you what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, if there was one thing above all that we need to let settle in our hearts this morning, it's that. That there is absolutely nothing. If we have truly surrendered our hearts to Christ, there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God that's found in Jesus. If you're in Christ, all hell can be breaking loose around you, but you're just as snug as a bug in a rug. God's got you in His hand, and He's not letting go. Would you remember that in these days coming? Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this passage that so clearly reminds us of who we are and whose we are and what we have because of it. that you are a faithful provider for those who embrace your loving covenant in Jesus. And we experience the fullness of it as we stand fast in it. I pray for my brothers and sisters here and for all who are watching online. That is what they're doing. And that in the days ahead, while everything around us seems like it's falling apart, inside and in their homes, they're experiencing peace and joy because of you and your presence. I pray that they experience the reality of what this psalm has revealed. But Father, also pray for that one that may be watching right now that hasn't been experiencing that. Maybe at this moment they have come to the reality that they've never truly surrendered their heart to Jesus. If that's you, I want you to look at me for just a moment. We don't have to end this broadcast with you still lacking the peace Jesus died to give. You can have it. As I said at the beginning of this sermon, all you need to do is confess your sin. Confess that you have sinned against God and that you want forgiveness of your sin, that you believe Jesus died for your sin, that He is indeed God incarnate in the flesh, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and died for you, rose on the third day so you could have eternal life. If you truly believe that and confess that, the Scripture is true. If you will call on the name of Jesus and ask Him to save you, He will bring all this restoration and forgiveness and goodness into your life. You can have it now. If that's you and you want that, would you pray something like this with me? Just pray it right now. Your Father in heaven, I confess to you that I'm a sinner and that I have sinned against you. And I want forgiveness of my sin. I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me and to raise on the third day so I could have eternal life. I invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart, come into my life, and save me. I ask you to give me your Holy Spirit so that I can live the rest of my life for your glory. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. It's in your name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to send me a private message. Send me some kind of text message, something. I want to connect with you. Maybe after we end the broadcast, for some of you, maybe you have some specific prayers. Or maybe you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. Send me a message. I'll hook up with you afterwards. Listen, I don't want you to face the days that we're facing in broken fellowship with Him. Listen, the one thing we need is to be in right restoration with Him so that we experience Him as the Good Shepherd. Amen? That's a good place for you to type in amen right there. That's what we all need. And that's my prayer for you. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we'll have a time of prayer and Bible study. I pray that each of you experience Him not only today, but every day, especially in this crisis, that you experience Him as the Good Shepherd. You experience this peace and hope and security that He died to give. God bless you. We're praying for you. Bye now.